Chapter 8. John chapter 8. We'll continue our study beginning in verse number 12. We'll read verse 12 through 20. This is after the story concerning Christ and the adulterous woman. It was brought to him that he delivered from her condemnation. And immediately after this episode here, we read verse 12, and it's very significant. And we'll go back and try to bring these things into correlation to view this morning for you. But he said in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." He just told that lady, he said, where are your accusers? She said, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And what he said, just stop your sinning and follow me. I'm the light of the world.
I'm the light of the world. He makes that statement there.
He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees, therefore, said unto him, said, you bear record of yourself. Your record's not true. That's a bold statement, isn't it? I mean, they had not been able to find one flaw in anything that he had said or done. Looking for it. I mean, I'm talking about they were diligently seeking and searching to find something that they could accuse him with all the time. Never let up. They had committees out. They'd assigned certain ones, leaders of the committees. Go ahead and see if you can't find something that we can accuse this fellow with. Couldn't find a thing. All the way down to the time that he was arrested, they couldn't find anything. They couldn't find true witnesses, so they gave up and just found somebody to lie. Didn't know what to do? False witnesses. Oh, how bold.
How bold rebellion is.
Right? How bold. How bold a stubborn person is with their attempt, always attempting to defy God. What did old Samuel say to Saul? Stubbornness is as witchcraft and adultery. Right? Rebellion. My. Man rebels against the Almighty God in face of light. That's the danger. When light is so bright and shining so clearly. Well, here they are. Jesus answered. He said to them, verse 14, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. I know where I came from and where I'm going. You can't tell. You're a bunch of blind leaders of the blind. You can't tell. You can't tell where I came from. You don't know where I'm going. You're blind. You're blind. You're blind. You're religious, but you're blind. You say you know the Scriptures, but you don't. They thought they did. How many times do you read and
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, of him correcting them.
Haven't you read? Haven't you read your Bibles?
If you read your Bibles, you know these things are true.
If you read your Bibles, you know my witness is true.
He said, you judge after the flesh. That's your problem. I judge no man. Yet if I judge, he said, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. We're together on this thing. We're on the same page. He said, it is also written in your law. Haven't you read this? Let me tell you about the law. I guess the law giver, the law writer, the law revealer can tell him about the law, can't he? The lawgiver? Same one came with grapes. He said, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness. That ought to be a pretty good witness, isn't it? They couldn't even get two up here to tell the truth about this woman. Couldn't get two to go together on this thing up here. Then said they unto him, where is thy Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor my Father. If you'd known me, you should have known my Father also. What's he telling me? I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm not going to get into a debate over this thing. You just don't know, and I'm going to leave you that way. That's the way. Hey, when you answer a fool in his folly, you're a fool with him. Be careful. Jesus was careful about that stuff. Verse 20, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple where the money was kept. I don't know where you've picked up on this. I hope you will when you study. Study, study, study. But the more you study concerning these Pharisees, this was a political religious affair with these people. They were guarding their treasure. They didn't want, there was constantly compromises being made with the Roman government and with the Jews. Like you say, if you read Josephus, you'll find these things. These wars that finally came about. The Roman government finally got fed up with the Jews. They said, let's just go over and wipe them out. And that's when they went, 70 A.D., that's when it started. And they went over there with the purpose of wiping them out. They were tired of compromising with them and trying to satisfy them through political expedience. And that's what the whole thing's about. They're guarding their particular station that they feel that they have formed with the Roman government here. They don't give a flip about what's true or what's false. It's a money deal and power deal. And so that's what he's facing here. No man, he says, laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. They wanted to, but they couldn't. They were restrained by God Almighty. They couldn't do no more than what God allowed them to do. Here's one of those instances where the psalm comes to light. Psalm 76. The wrath of man shall praise God, and the remainder thou shalt restrain. The wickedness, the conspiracies, the corruption of man shall praise God. He's got it all figured out.
just how much to vent, how much to allow to come forth. And no more than what will bring forth his divine, all-wise purpose is going to surface. The rest of it, you're going to keep down. That's what's going on today. And people ask you sometimes, well, you believe in the absolute sovereign God who's in control of all things? We sure do. Well, what about all this stuff going on out here today? It's working just right along with God's purpose. And it'll accomplish all he intended for it to accomplish, and everything else he'll squelch. That's the way it is. I don't have any problem with it, do you?
A lot of folks do, though. All right, we're going to talk about the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Verse 12. Mr. Ryle,
J.C. Ryle, Bishop Ryle, 1800s. One of my favorite writers.
Mr. Ryle, he said light. Light, he said light in Scripture is sometimes the emblem of true knowledge, true holiness, true happiness. On the other hand, he said, while darkness is the figure for ignorance and error, guilt, depravity, privation, and misery, a person that chooses to be willingly ignorant, whatever the situation, circumstance, whatever the context that it fits in, usually is headed for terrible, terrible misery. Whatever it is, you choose to be ignorant concerning what the Scripture says about how man can be saved, you're going to wind up destroyed. You won't blame God. You can't blame God. I mean, God gives it out. The gospel is freely preached. The ransom that we talked about. We preach the ransom. We show that there's only one ransom. There's only one way. Only one way. Somebody said, well, I don't believe it. I believe it's other ways. Another way is what you're saying, preacher. Well, go ahead. That's your choice. Somebody said you believe in decisions? I sure do. We make them every day, don't we? And you decide this morning whether you're going to pay attention to what this preacher said or not. And you're going to try to say what he's saying, oh, it just fits into his theory, notion, idea. It's no such thing. This is Scripture. Either Jesus Christ is the light of the world or he's not. Either Jesus Christ is your hope or you have no hope. That's not theory. That's a matter of fact. That's the biblical fact. Ryle goes on to say, because the believer follows the one who is light, he does not grope his way in doubt and uncertainty, but he sees where he is going. You know where you're going? Huh? It's clear. I know where I'm going. I'm following the light. So he knows where he's going, and not only so, he enjoys the light of God's countenance. But this is, Ryle said, this is his experience only so far as he really follows Christ. Now get that. Only so far as he really follows Christ. Hey, it's not how you start out, it's how you finish up, folks. Just as if it were possible to follow the Son in his complete circuit. He should always be in broad daylight. So, the one who is actually following Christ shall not
walk in darkness. End of quote.
So, the scene before us bears witness to the previous testimony of John chapter 3 in verse 19 and 21. Let me quote that for you. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light lest his or her deeds be reproved. Should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light. He that does truth comes to the light. Didn't say he that loves truth, but he that does truth comes to the light. Because he that does truth loves truth. That his deeds may be made manifest. That they are worked in God. Now consider the light exposing here. This is what the light does. This woman is a beautiful picture of what Christ does when he is pleased to work the marvelous work of regeneration and conversion in the life of a sinner. Wonderful, beautiful. You don't see, you only see the outward here. But if you look behind the scene, you see the inward working of the Holy Spirit of God in the life of this woman. Here she is all of a sudden. As far as we know, she had no previous conviction of sin. She's caught, they say she's caught in the very act of adultery. They bring her and throw her into the very midst, the place where Christ is teaching in the temple. And what do you say? They say, what do you say we're supposed to do with this woman? What are we going to do with her? Now, let me tell you what Moses said. He knew what Moses said. He told Moses to say what he said. But so this is the scene. Look at verse 7 again up there in chapter 8. Verse 7, 8, and 9. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up his... or himself, and said to them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Let him first cast a stone. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted, watching there, convicted by their own conscience.
All right, here's illumination. Light. Light flashes. The conscience witnesses, agrees, gives assent to what he just said. They're convicted, but they're not convinced. They're illuminated, but they're not regenerated. They agree with the fact, but there's no faith. That's important. Very vital.
So being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in his midst.
And that's the way salvation works. You're left alone with God somewhere out here, friend. Yeah. You're not left in a public display. God deals with you inwardly. It's a private, personal matter. That's right, it's not a show. It's not a public show. They make it that nowadays. Public displays. Men are winning their trophies, but they're not trophies of God.
He dealt with this woman alone. She's left alone. And you'll notice the revealing power of the light. First, convicting these religious hypocrites of their own failure, their own darkness, and expelling them. Now, light exposing in the heart of this woman brings her to a confession. What did 1 John say? He said, this is the message which we've heard of Him and declare unto you that God is what? Light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. Here's light. Here's absolute, ineffable, incomprehensible, pure light. And this woman, who's been caught in her sin, stands before it. The light is working. The light is manifesting. The light is having its purifying effect upon the heart of this sinner. She's alone with the Savior. You know, we should never, some of you might still be expecting this, been around Calvary Baptist Church for a while, but y'all be catching on this thing by now. You ought to. We should never expect to gain great numbers where Christ is exalted in preaching. For preaching light. Where Christ is exalted, light is being preached. Not so? Who does the light attract? Huh? Sheep, children. Adulterers and adulteresses. But adulterers and adulteresses that's converted. Converted. I'm going to get on that. Walking. So we ought not to expect to gain great numbers, should we? If Christ is being preached. You see, worldlings' hearts are as black as hell, folks. I know, I was a worldling. Black, dark, ignorant, full of error. Unless the darkness in the heart is expelled,
never come to light. Never come to the light. It's contrary.
Now what I read there in John chapter 3. God is light. Let me get this across. God is light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. I just read it. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all. God is light. Absolutely so. And where Christ and His doctrine is set forth, there will be a detraction. Not an attraction to it. I preach on the absolute dependence of God Almighty. If God calls a sinner out of darkness, God must call that sinner out of darkness. I can't. I'm helpless. It must be God. See, well, light, you see, is the basis of fellowship and communion with God. Verse 6 of that same chapter in John chapter 1 John chapter 1 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. We lie. And we do not the truth. That's not a theory. Again, that's a biblical fact. That's just the way it is. Yeah.
That's the way it is.
And light exposes the darkness. Exposes sin, which is dark. It's deceiving. And then light expelling. You notice this in verse 10 and 11 of our study here. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man." They're not here. They're not here. "No man, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I. Neither do I go and sin no more." So the light expelling. You see, light, it expels all those that were not in fellowship with it. Did you see that happen here? It expelled all those that were not in fellowship with it. Everyone that does evil hates light. You've got a manifestation of it here. It's revealed in the lesson. Why did they all leave? Because they had no fellowship with light. Why did they all leave? Because they were evil, and evil hates the light. And so when he raised up, there was none. It says, "Saw none but the woman." Of course, in his omniscience, he knew they were gone. He knew they were gone. That's what he intended. Did you know that? Yeah, he intended to drive that crowd away. He didn't intend to save them. He intended to save that one woman, that sinner, that they, by their wicked devices and conspiracies, brought to him. But he wasn't going to save them. Somebody said, "That's not fair." No, it wasn't fair to save the woman. What's mercy? We haven't learned what mercy is. Mercy, mercy, mercy. It's doing that for us that we don't deserve. Then it expelled the woman's accusers. We saw the separation of those who were not in fellowship with light. Now we see that it expelled the woman's accusers. Where are those, your accusers? I have none. I have none. That's the wonderful thing about gospel light. When you come to the gospel, to the light, and light brings you to the light giver, the light himself, the personified light, the Lord Jesus Christ. It brings you before him where there is none to accuse. What Paul said in Romans, he said, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" Here we have it. God is for her, who can be against her? They're all gone. They are all gone. Not a single one of them left. Paul said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all." For us all. Talking about the elect. You put it in context. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?" It is God that justifies. Who's he that condemns? It's Christ that died. He paid the ransom. He paid the price. He shed his blood. He made it possible. Here I am sliding down to the pit. God said, "Stop him. I have found the ransom." It's wonderful, isn't it? Yeah. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yet rather, that is risen again.
That's the satisfaction.
That's the attestation of God to the satisfaction that Christ made for our sins. Raised him from the dead. Who's even, blessed be God, at the right hand of God. And who also makes intercession for us. So it is the light that expelled and drove away the woman's accuser. Not in fellowship with light, they could not tolerate the light. They went out one by one. It expelled also her condemnation. Hath no man condemned thee? No, sir. I have no man. Neither do I. That brings us to that fourth point there. It had expelled her sin. Therefore, Christ said, there's no condemnation. And when Christ says, neither do I, it doesn't make any difference what the world says or what the devil says. When Christ says, neither do I condemn you, you're free. No condemnation. Go free. Like that little sparrow. Go free. I've loosed you from your bondage. Go free. You're no longer caged up. Go free. Don't fight any longer. Just spread your wings and fly away and sing to God. I am free. Free. Free, free. So sin cannot remain in the purifying light of ineffable holiness. And that's what we have here. Then you notice experiencing the light, verse number 12. She experienced the light. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Isn't that wonderful? Shall not walk. You know, walk is in the text here, in the construction, the word construction, the Greek language. I understand that walk, what it's translated from, is an emphatic, is in the emphatic future negative. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, it's a double negative. In other words, he's saying it's like no, no, or never, never. No, no, or never, never. He that follows me shall never, never, most definitely never, ever, walk in darkness. Walk in darkness. Now stay with me. In other words, not only are his people so justified from sin as to never ever come into condemnation again, they are so sanctified by his power as to never ever fall into the practice of sin as a way of life. Never, ever. Somebody said, well, somebody just I think they're saved, but they went back out to their old way of life, and they just walked in that way of life. And well, I give them the benefit of the doubt. If they don't turn around pretty soon, you can count them off. Huh? How long did Peter go in his denial of Christ? Huh? He denied him just like Judas did. He did? How long did he stay there? Well, I believe it was a cock crow, but I also believe when the Lord turned and looked at him. That was a piercing thing. That's what convicted his heart, and that's when he went out and wept. Bitterly! Didn't stay there long, did he? That's it. The word followeth here. It means to be in the same way with. According to what I could pick up in the study of the word here, the Greek word, it means to be in the same way with. Is that not conversion? Did not Jesus say, I'm the way, the truth, and life? When a man gets in the way, the way with Christ, he's in the same way with. I've been in the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ for years and years and years. And you note that the twofold experience of light is brought out here. The first is a negative. Shall not walk in darkness. You can't. I quoted Mr. Ryle a while ago, light in Scripture, he says, sometimes the emblem of true knowledge, true holiness, true happiness, while darkness is emblematic of ignorance, error, guilt, depravity, privation, misery. You're either going to walk in one or the other. And if one makes, well, make a profession of faith. And it looks awful good up front. Maybe a few tears shed. Good testimony given. And they walk a little while. Look like in the light. But then they divert. They go back and begin to walk in darkness. Going back into ignorance. You're talking about this morning. You've had people over the years. We've had people here made a pretty good show to start with. And that never really impresses me. I said, well, let's wait a while. Give them a little time. I've been disappointed so many times. I don't get my hopes too high. Let's wait a while. I mean, professions of faith are very easy to come. I might be going through some kind of a emotional experience and some kind of an affliction, physically or whatever, and all of a sudden they want to get right, you know, where they go to heaven. Won't get right where they can escape hell. And they make a profession of faith. A lot of them made professions on these basic two things. But they don't want to walk with God. After a while, it shows up. They don't want to walk with God. So what they do, they go back and begin to walk again where they were, which is darkness. You don't leave the light and go to darkness if you know God. You understand what I'm saying? Am I making sense? I'm just saying what he's saying here. Just saying what he's saying. I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, because the believer follows the one who is light, he does not grope in the darkness of doubt and uncertainty, but he sees and knows where he or she is going. The second, the positive here, shall have the light of life. That's wonderful, isn't it? Doesn't walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Following me, you have the light of life. Now, every man coming into the world, as John had already established in chapter 1, has light by nature. You see, the unregenerate have moral light. Come on. Huh? The unregenerate have moral light. What are you talking about, preacher? Explain yourself. Well, in John chapter 1, verse 9, John has said this, talking about Christ, that was the true light. Jesus, the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. Every man, without exception. All light comes from Christ. He is the light. Moral light, spiritual light, it comes from Christ. He's the light of the world. No man receives light apart from Christ. But this woman had received not just moral light, now she'd been brought into spiritual light. Let me get back in moral light. It makes men capable of moral decision. It makes men capable of responding to responsibility. Responsible for their actions. But moral light never saves. You getting where I'm going? Moral light never saves. Our Lord told, this is what he's talking about when Paul put it down in Romans chapter 1. In chapter 2 he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold, that is, hold down, suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest unto them, for God has showed it to them. God has showed it to them, but they're not saved. It said in Romans chapter 2, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law to themselves. He's talking about intuitive law. Gentiles in darkness, who did not receive the law as the Israelites received the law. They have a law in their heart. You know what aggravates people, unconverted people, unregenerate people when I preach? I preach the Bible. Do I preach the Bible? You know what aggravates them? Why some, they come in, they're under the influence of the preached Word of God for just a little bit, and they leave with their hackles up. What's wrong? Every man has a Bible in their heart. And when I preach this Bible to them, and the Bible in their heart agrees with this Bible, they don't like it. Their ways are evil. Therefore, they throw off the light, and they go their way, and they remain in their darkness. He said, he goes on and explains this thing. He said, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law to themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. It's right there. Written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness. You know, I can get up here and I can talk about the law. I can say, you know, the 11 commandments. Or there's 9 commandments. Everybody knows that's not so. So they just throw it off. They say, that old kook don't know what he's saying up there. But when I say there's 10 commandments, I say, yeah, that's right. Get on the thing of tithe and giving, you know. I get up here and I talk about, man, I ought to give 11% of his income. Let's cut it down there. They should give 8%. You don't know what he's talking about. They don't even know the Bible says 10%? Tithe? You don't see what I'm trying. My point is, if I deviate from what the Bible says, it just people say, well, he don't know what he's talking about. He's kind of gone off the rocker. But when I say, no, that's what the Bible says, they got a Bible in their heart, and they said, the conscience is bearing witness, and that's right. And the more the conscience says that's right, if they are not a converted person, and they're walking in moral darkness, they're going to try to get out from under the light, because it's disturbing. It bothers me. The only way you can come under the light and be comfortable on the light and love the light and walk in the light is being converted by the power of God.
All right. I'm through. And the other day, rehab folks talking about,
these are just religious people. These are just religious people. And I try to stay away from what I believe because I'd like to have a few friends down there.
I don't get into a whole lot of debates and discussion, but they're talking about, you know, talking about church and talking about, you know, one fellow said, you know, man ought to quit when it comes to 12 o'clock. Said, they're not going to get much after 12 o'clock. They're not going to get much before 12. But anyway, I know what he's talking about. I said to him, 12 o'clock, quit, you know. Shut it down at 12 o'clock. That's all they can tolerate. His fellow said, yeah. He said, when folks start looking to watch, said, they ought to tell the preacher something up there. I said, don't bother me. I said, don't bother me a bit. I said, what bothers me is when they take it off and start hitting it against the pew and shaking it, you know. Shaking that thing, then looking at it. That bothers me. All right. But what we have here is something entirely different from this moral light and moral persuasion. Shall have the light of life. You know what that means? It means to hold as a possession. That's what that word means. A present possession. You come into possession of it, it's present. It continues. You walk in the light. Following Christ. So it's a continuing possession, and it's a lasting possession. Shall have the light of what? Life. Goes with you all the way through life. Right on into eternity. Now this is what the woman, taken in adultery, went away with. What about you? What do you have? Just a little bit of moral light? A little bit of illumination? Won't you think about that? Won't you study that? Deeply consider that. It's absolutely vital to your soul. When you go away from Christ, you go away like this woman. Like the woman at the well who went to get a jug of water and who took the well away. What we wanted. All right. Okay, we're through.